We're blowing the doors wide open on Inside Wealth right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. And now with us today in our winning business segment is Dr. Hazel Henderson, the futurist, the worldwide syndicated columnist, the economist, brilliant thinker, and a big heart also. So she's got it all going on. And she's the creator and co-executive producer of Ethical Markets, wrote the book by the same title, Ethical Markets, Growing the Green Economy. And Hazel, thank you so much for joining us again. What are you focused on today?
Well, hi, Stu. What I want to look at today is kind of the broader economy than I usually do. And even though there's not much good news in the U.S. right now with the housing recession and the volatile markets and all the rest of it, you've probably noticed that those solar and renewable energy stocks have done pretty well. And here's the thing I want to talk about. As we know, the stock markets today are driven really by mass media. And they often exaggerate the downturns and the upturns. And they're also driven by outdated classifications that those security analysts use. And, you know, the kind of the older industrial sectors of our economy. They talk about the utilities and retail and transportation and pharmaceuticals, you know, and energy and stuff like that. And so what happens is that a lot of these new companies that are doing so well, like solar and wind power companies, are lumped in that energy barrel along with coal and oil and nuclear. And you'll find the organic foods, for example, which are a huge growing sector, they get lost in agriculture. And then you find all those cleaner, greener, more efficient technologies, they get lost in the IT sector along with eBay and Google. So what I'm proposing is a whole new asset class of these companies, and I'm going to call it the sustainability sector, so that investors could find out how all of these new cleaner, greener companies are doing. And they would include the renewable energy group, the clean foods, the preventive health care, the fitness, the spas, the supplements, the organic agriculture, and so that Wall Street analysts could show us this whole sector and how rapidly it's moving. And I think in this way, not only would we see for the first time, you know, this green economy every day on those stock charts, but it would help grow it. What do you think, Stu?
Well, as a former money manager, I get to put on that cap here.
Okay.
It's a great idea.
All
and,
right.
For a number of standpoints. First of all, when it really, it's practical. And we all know that Wall Street is concerned with their own bottom line first and foremost.
Yeah.
And to the extent there's actually demand for people wanting to invest in sustainable companies across numerous industries,
yeah,
that is something that I think would play really well, whether it's with one of the family of mutual funds or a number of them, or even with some of the Wall Street firms themselves in terms of the funds that they create. And so
it makes so much sense.
Now, there is this thing called socially responsible investing out there that we've all heard of.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing a distinction here that there's a distinction between sustainability and social responsibility. Is that?
Well, I think eventually, you know, they're all going to roll into one and become mainstream. I mean, that's what's happening with socially responsible investing. I mean, the last time I looked now, there is this group called the UN Principles of Social Responsible Investing. They are up to $13 trillion with a T worth of assets, mostly in pension funds. And then there's another group called the Carbon Disclosure Project. They have $41 trillion, you know. And then the Ceres Coalition up there in Boston, and they now represent assets, about $3 trillion worth of assets. And so I'm thinking, hey, look, socially responsible investing is kind of mainstream now. And we're focused now on how do we see this new green economy rising every day on, you know, on when we turn on a financial news show. And I think that they'd probably all fit into a sustainability sector, and that would probably include the socially responsible funds.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the big money, as you're talking about, these major pension funds and that sort of thing, the big pools of capital, unless it's a GE or one of these major or a Microsoft with a huge market capitalization, they don't invest in stocks.
Right.
They invest in sectors.
In sectors.
And so to the extent that the whole sector can get of sustainability, can get a boost by virtue of being basically reorganized in ways that they appear more visible.
Right.
What that does is it creates greater demand for their stocks in aggregate, which gives them a cheaper cost of capital in going to the market for additional shares, that they the companies want to raise more money to expand. And that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, great. I'm so glad you agree with me. So let's talk to asset managers that you and I know.
Hey, so when was the last time I disagreed with you?
Well, I really enjoy being on this show, too.
Hazel, you're fantastic. And you know what? I am going to bring it up.
Good.
And I'm inviting our listeners out there, many of whom actually have sizable portfolios. Uh-huh. So here we actually get a call to action. Would you please talk to your brokers, talk to your money managers, your private wealth managers, whoever else you have out there who's advising you how to run all those zeros, and ask them what their thoughts are on it and get the ball rolling, because simply it's a matter of if there's demand for it, we know it's going to show up.
Yeah, I think it would make quite a difference. So thanks for letting me bounce it off you.
Hazel, thank you so much for bouncing it off. It feels great.
All the best, Stu. Take care now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so let's ground the sustainability thing a little bit further. What can you and I do today to take a step in a direction of doing business in a way that really is sustainable and getting services and products from companies that are sustainable? Obviously, the investment equation, Hazel Henderson gave us some great ideas, but let's ground it to today as well. One thing we can all do is come to our website at insidewealth.net, because we have a referral network. We've got a group of business service providers or personal service providers that walk their talk, okay, that are dedicated to an excellence of service. People like Hutch Ashew over at Pillar Financial. He's a money manager, a private wealth manager, and basically helps to allocate your assets in ways to empower your dreams. Empower, have the money work for you, and it's a very personal conversation. This is definitely not one size fits all. It's definitely not throwing you into the pie chart and seeing what spits out. Another example is John Menke at Menke Associates, who are like the granddaddies of employee stock ownership plans. So if you have a company where it's about time to share some of that wealth and expand the pie, you want to talk about sustainability, that's a great way to do it. Menke and Associates are the best of the best. And that's who we are. These are examples of the kind of people and service providers and business people that we are grounding this notion of what inside wealth is from a philosophy standpoint in terms of nuts and bolts and everyday business. So come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net. Because, you know, we are here to be of service. We are here to help you live and inspire you and empower you in all the ways to live a wealthier life. And frankly, if you've got any questions that you want to have answered, either by me or any of our guests ever, past, present, or future, just drop me a line at stu@insidewealth.net. So if you have a question for Hazel, or a question for the Swami, or Steve Behrman, or me, stu@insidewealth.net. Send it in. We'll actually not only answer your question directly to you via email, we may even put you on the air and have that question put on the air and discuss it wide open, because, you know, we are all in this together. And that really was the premise of the Swami and Steve's comments. And let's talk about Steve for a moment. Forget about his comic alter ego here just for a moment, and just focus on the serious side of Steve Behrman and his work with Bruce Lipton, who is an extremely well-known and highly regarded scientist. And this whole notion of us truly all being in this together, literally, figuratively, scientifically, proven and borne out by science, is something that will change our planet. It will. It just will. It's going to change all of our lives. Because imagine for a moment that we spent more time, just more moments of every day, focusing and remembering that we are all in this together, that we're all made of the same stuff, whoever we are. And that goes beyond our personalities, it goes beyond our political preference, it goes beyond our gender, it goes beyond our economic shoe size in terms of who's got what money and what strata we could possibly be in based upon our scorecard in life known as dollars and cents. And go beyond that. Hopefully, to go to a place, as we talked about in our bowl of stew, with another way of taking a look at it is asking the question, where exactly does family end? Because we are all in this together, we all have these relationships, don't we? You know, they're not just blood relationships. You must have friends out there, people you know that you absolutely love. Not because you were born of the same blood to them, not because you were raised under the same roof. Just because they're fun and they're caring and you got great times together. And it can really just be that simple. It doesn't have to be, you know, heavy. And so as we talk about how we can be growing as human beings, or you talk about expanding consciousness, which sounds awfully heady, you know, we can bring a little Steve Behrman into view here, into light. Because it can be with a sense of levity and a sense of laughter that we kind of understand, you know what? We take ourselves so seriously at times. We do. And to the point where we can really be living in a sense of fear because there is so much that's out of our control. And we see that every day. We see that every day in the papers, right? And all the press in terms of all the us and them, all the ways that we need to be afraid, all the ways we need to, you know, not only defend ourselves, but possibly even be the aggressors and do it to them before they do it to us. As if there really is a them. Which really does beg the question here, what if there is just us, you know? And that we are doing the best we can. And if we can see through the divisions that keep us apart, whether it's based upon where we've grown up, or based upon how we pray or choose not to pray, is something that is so huge and infinite that it's supposed to be beyond the human mind to fully comprehend anyway. So why do we pretend on some level that we do know exactly how it operates and it's our way? And go beyond that. And go beyond that to a wealth that we can all tap into. This inside wealth of doing our best as human beings. To care for each other, to be of service to each other, which, you know, is an amazing thing. You know, I'm building this business here called Enjoy Media, and I got to tell you, it's amazing what is showing up as we continue to ask, how can we be of service to you? How can we have the greatest impact in your life? Because as we continue to ask that question of our potential clients or potential partners, it becomes a big conversation. And you know, it's an interesting thing. One of the ways that there is this exchange in terms of being of true service to somebody and providing value to somebody, it's with money. So there's a direct correlation between this thing called inside wealth and the outside wealth. There really is. This is not just a theory. It's not just a concept. Thank goodness. It's simply a matter of what we can put into practice. And the good news is we have all kinds of people to use as role models who've come before us who do just that, who have been servant leaders. People like Abraham Lincoln, if you want to talk about it from a, you know, the political standpoint. Or a Walt Disney, if you want to talk about it from an economic standpoint. Where he brought lightness, he brought love, he brought the happiest place on earth to us all in the form of Disneyland. And he wound up pretty good for himself, didn't he? Dedicated to excellence. Well, I'm inviting you all, as we wind up this week of Inside Wealth, one, to take a look at that weakest link of yours and see what you can do in terms of relationships, to take whatever that weakest link is to a new level. And I think you'll find that that's going to create the container for a richer, richer life for you. Until next week, invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at InsideWealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW. Turn the clock to zero, boss, and rivers wide and swim across me.